Be back in lovely Leander, Texas. I bring you greetings from wet Abilene. Not many times in the history of the world you get to say that, but it's been kind of wet in Abilene the last couple of weeks. But it's great to be with you today. I'm excited to be here because I have really good news. Is there anybody in the room that could use a little good news today? Yeah, I kind of thought so. Me too. I'm excited to share with you good news. I want to tell you this morning, my objective always as I speak is not for you to leave here today saying, wow, what a great organization EEM is. Not my objective. My objective is for you to leave here today saying, wow, what a great God we serve. And that truly is what I pray happens today. EEM, what we do, and we'll see how this works. There we go. Is this going to work? Okay. All right. We're going to give it a shot. You guys have heard of the Soviet Union, right? That's a little ancient history now. Fell apart in the 1989-1990. For years, the Soviet Union was in power. The Cold War between the West and the East, the U.S. and the Soviet Union. The height of that may have been in 1961 when the Berlin Wall was built. That same year, 1961, a group of people graduated from Abilene Christian and decided that God was calling them to go get Bibles to those people on the other side of the Iron Curtain. They moved to Vienna and started a Bible smuggling operation, smuggling Bibles across the Iron Curtain. And the main reason that they did so was because of the philosophy of the Soviet Union. Stalin came into power back in 1923, and one of the main strategies of the Soviet Union was to confiscate all the Bibles. After World War II, when Stalin decided to start grabbing countries in Eastern Europe, Hungary, Poland, Czechoslovakia, etc., one of the first things that they would do would go, they would go literally door to door, searching homes, confiscating Bibles. They removed the Bible from society. This was the number one strategies of the communist regimes. So, by the time 1961 came, these are nations without Bibles. That's why these people moved to Vienna, to smuggle Bibles to those folks on the other side of the Iron Curtain. All right. Recently, we had a stark reminder of this reality. This is one of our representatives, Dimitrios, there. He is in Athens, Greece, and he covers a particular region there, and he lets people know what we do. We get Bibles to those folks that don't have one. In his region here, there's Athens. He also covers Albania, Macedonia, Bulgaria, this region right here. Recently, he was in Bulgaria, and he was speaking to a little church on a Sunday morning, about 40, 50 people. And he began his sermon. They asked him to preach. He began a sermon and he said, would you, everyone please turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13. And everybody got up and started walking out the back. Okay, did I offend somehow? And then it hit him and he realized they had one Bible. It was out in the foyer. Nobody had a Bible at home. There were no other Bibles in the church building. No Bibles in a bookstore, no Bibles in the library. They had one Bible, access to one Bible with the whole group. And Dimitrios, of course, was kind of faced with this reality once again. And he promised them, I'll be back, and you will all have Bibles in your language when I come back. And that has happened. But it was a reminder to us, nations without Bibles. This is hard for us to grasp and imagine, right? How many Bibles do you have at your house? How many Bibles are in this building today. Any bookstore, you can go to Walmart and get Bibles. Every library. Nations without Bibles. This is still the reality. And this is what we try to do. We're trying to get Bibles to those folks that don't have one. And the reason we do this is because, first of all, we distribute Bibles and Bible-based materials in Eastern Europe and beyond to anyone who requests, free to all. This is what we do. And the reason we do this is because we believe in the power of the double-edged sword of the Word of God. We believe in the power of the seed, which is the Word of God. And we believe in this power not only because we read about it in our Bibles, but because we have seen this power on display over and over again. Now, I grew up in the 60s, started my ministry in the 70s, 80s, and I heard all my growing up years and my ministry career, Eastern Europe, oh, that's the really hard soil. It's really tough there. And it was. But brothers and sisters, that is not true anymore. Are you ready for some good news? Are you sure? You might need to brace yourself a little bit. You might need to hang on to your pew. I'm fixing to blow you up here. I want to show you some numbers. These are EEM's total distribution numbers. Total number of Bibles and Bible-based books distributed each year since 2008. Of course, we smuggled Bibles till 1989. Then communism fell, the wall came down, doors flew open. In 2008, EEM distributed 67,872 total Bibles and Bible-based books. And that was a pretty average year after the wall came down. 67, 70, 75,000 in this neighborhood per year. In 2009, we had a little jump in distribution. 293,904. The main reason for this is Ukraine requesting Bibles into their public schools. I'll come back to that in just a minute. Okay? The next year, distribution was down. Then in 2011, up. 2012, up. 2013, down. And then in 2014, 489,000. 554. Now remember, EEM operates largely responding to requests. What is this telling you? Requests are up in those same nations where the communists had confiscated the Bibles and removed the Bible from society. Those people want the Bible back. In big numbers. 2016, we saw a slight jump again. Nearly 750,000 Bibles and books distributed. 53% more than any previous year. And if you'll notice, more than 10 times the distribution number in 2008. A record year until last year. And last year, EEM distributed 1,184,902 Bibles and Bible-based books. That's okay. Yeah, you can do that. Now, are we applauding EEM? No. This is God. Amen? God is opening the doors of people's hearts. And they want the Bible back in their society and back in their lives again. Now, that's very exciting. Yes, it's very exciting. We love those numbers. You can imagine what this does to us, though. We have some catching up to do. God has outrun us a little bit. It's a great problem. It's a great problem. But it's also a big challenge, and that's why I'm here today. We need your help. more than ever. Now, what I'd like to do is to take you inside these numbers. First of all, these are 1,184,902 Bibles and Bible-based books in 30 countries and 22 different languages. Everywhere you see a pen on the map, EEM is distributing Bibles. Now, let's go inside these numbers. This year, EEM will distribute over 200,000 books, Bibles, into Ukraine. Since 2008, since 2009, EEM has been distributing Bibles into the public schools of Ukraine at their request so they can teach Christian values in their public schools using the Bible as a textbook. That's a former Soviet communist nation. We will distribute over 200,000 Bibles. We have now, at the end of last year, distributed Bibles into a little more than half of all the public schools in the nation of Ukraine. That's 2.3 million Bibles. We'll do another 200,000 this year. If you recall, not that long ago, 200,000 was our total distribution everywhere. Now we'll do 200,000 just in Ukraine. Now let me take you inside those numbers. A couple of months ago, I had the privilege and honor and blessing of traveling over there. We went to Ukraine, and we visited the city of Ostro, where they were conducting. I apologize for the quality of the picture. I took this over my shoulder with my phone. We attended the National Bible Olympics. Are you guys familiar here with LTC? The National Bible Olympics in Ukraine is very much like LTC. It's a friendly, sweet Bible competition. The students take a test over Bible knowledge, and then they present a five-minute teaching on a Bible story. We got to go into this classroom where this first grader was teaching, a five-minute teaching, first grader, she was teaching on David and Goliath. That's what they told me. I didn't understand a word she said. But I want you to know, she was owning the room. She was large and in charge. She was passionate, enthusiastic, eloquent, telling the story of David and Goliath and applying it to our lives and having courage. How perfect for her, the first grader, to be talking about David and Goliath. And then we learned that this Bible competition that we were attending here, there were 250 students there. Those 250 students represented the winners of 20 regional competitions held all over the country, each of which had between 400 and 600 students involved. And this was just for grades 1 through 4. There were two other competitions for grades 5 through 8, another one for high school. And this is just one of two major competitions held in the nation of Ukraine. The other one is sponsored specifically by the Ministry of Education. Bottom line, tens of thousands of students, parents, teachers involved in reading, studying, teaching the Bible, and all of this is coming out of the public schools. And EEM is providing all the Bibles. And this church family is a part of that. You're a part of that. And I want to say thank you. Thank you to the Leander Church of Christ for your partnership with EEM. These are the kinds of things you're partnering with. Our director of operations in Ukraine, Dasha Novikova, that's her, the second from the left there. She is a native Ukrainian. Her line is she wants to say thank you to all the donors here in the U.S. She says the words, "Thank you for changing the future of my country." Now, how many times have you heard those kind of words spoken? Thank you for changing the future of my country. You're hearing them this morning. They are spoken to you. This is what's happening in Ukraine. I wish I had time to go on and on about what's going on in Ukraine, but it's amazing. God is moving. The power of the Word of God planted in good soil. All right, let's keep on going. This year we'll distribute 11,000 Bibles into Poland. First big delivery into Poland. We'll distribute over 100,000 books and Bibles into Romania. Most of those going into public schools in a little region of Romania called Transylvania. I've been practicing on that. That wasn't too bad, right? Is that great? Is that awesome? God distributing Bibles into public schools in Transylvania. By the way, our official distribution arm, I don't have time to tell you the story, but our official distribution arm in Romania is the Red Cross. Now think about that for a minute. Transylvania, the Red. I just think it's fun that God decided, I'm going to put Bibles in public schools in Transylvania using the Red Cross. Probably call Gabriel and Michael over and say, hey, well, watch this. And they're going, nah. He's going, yes. What's happening in Ukraine has begun to happen in Romania as well. The power of the Word of God. Truly spectacular. Our distribution is up again this year in Russia, third year in a row. We'll also distribute over 10,000 Bibles into Kazakhstan. And I know some of you are going, huh? Where's that? Okay, there it is. Bordering China, Russia. 10,000. You can't get Bibles into Kazakhstan. But God has opened a door, and we will do that this year. Bibles into Belarus. You can't get Bibles into Belarus, but God knows how. God is opening doors in places most of us thought were impossible. And the Word of God is being distributed. Okay. This year, also, we'll distribute Bibles into public schools in Croatia and Serbia. That's four nations up until recently. Bibles into public schools at their request, teaching Christian values in the public schools using the Bible. Ukraine, Romania, Croatia, and Serbia. You guys are only the second audience I get to share this with. We just found out a couple of weeks ago we're adding a fifth country this year, Hungary. We begin distributing Bibles into public schools this year in Hungary. Five nations. And you guys are part of that. Changing of a nation. You are witnessing alongside us the first rays of light breaking into countries that have been in the dark for a long, long time. I told you I had good news. God is amazing. Amen. Okay. I also shared with you last year the amazing work that our God is doing among the Muslim refugees who are flooding into our backyard, Europe. Many of these people have left their homes because their homes are rubble, their neighborhoods are war zones. They've lived their entire lives under oppression and terror. They have left seeking peace, trying not to die, seeking freedom. And they're being greeted. I shared with you last year when I was here, these refugees come all the way from Afghanistan, from Iran, Iraq, from Syria. They come across Turkey. They get to the west coast of Turkey. They pay money to get on a boat. Some are rickety wooden boats. Some are nothing more than inflatable rubber rafts. Crossing a piece of the Aegean Sea to get to Greece, a Greek island, Europe. And these people arrive on those shores desperate and destitute, and all I can say is thank God they're being greeted on the shores by Christians with a bottle of water, blanket. Come with us. There's food, there's shelter, there's warm, dry clothes, there's medical assistance. They're taken into Athens where the serving and the loving continues. And many of these refugees, first of all, they're shocked. Their response is, now, you're Christians, right? How can you do this? We thought you hated us. We were taught to hate you. How can you do this? And the Christians answer, it's because of Jesus. It's because of Jesus. And many of these Muslims, then they're touched, they're moved. They begin to ask the question then, can you tell me more about Jesus, please? And the Christians did and wanted to. The problem was they didn't have a Bible to give them in their language. So we started getting calls about 3 years ago. Do you guys have any Bibles in Arabic or Farsi? Two main languages of the Middle East. And our response was, well, not yet. We printed a few thousand, then word got out. Over the last 3 years, EEM has distributed over 225,000 Bibles in two brand new languages for us, Arabic and Farsi. And I'm reporting to you what I reported to you last year. Muslims are coming to Christ by the droves. How many times have you heard those words in your life? Go ahead, you can answer. It's okay, I know the answer. Never. Because it's never happened. And we are now witnessing something completely and totally unprecedented. Our God reaching people most of us thought were unreachable. And this is one of them. This man's name is Masood. Masood, his wife, his children, came from Afghanistan. The boy that he's holding in his left arm was born in Athens. They came to Greece about 3 years ago. The boy that he's holding with his right arm was 6 months old when they left Afghanistan. Now, Google that. Afghanistan to Greece. Okay, that's a long way. They arrived in the shores of Greece. They were greeted by Christians. I wish I had time to tell you the whole story. But Masood was touched, moved by the love of the Christians to him, unconditional love and service in the name of Jesus. It started him on a journey that led to him being baptized into Jesus Christ in January of 2016. Now, every Tuesday and Thursday night, Masood leads and teaches a Bible study for Farsi-speaking refugees in Athens, Greece. Every week there are baptisms. There have been over 175 baptisms out of his Bible study group in the last 2.5 years. This morning, today, the Glyphada Church of Christ in Athens, Greece will have 6 services. 2 of those will be for Farsi speaking because they can't all fit in one. How many times have you ever heard those words? God is doing something absolutely unprecedented, and Masood is right in the middle of it. Okay, let me tell you the rest of the story. If somebody comes forward today and says, I want to be baptized into Christ, what physical risk are they taking? Other than maybe the preacher holds them down a little bit too long. I don't know. None, right? How about Masood? He says, I want to be baptized. You know what happened? Back in Afghanistan, his brothers and his father seized his portion of the family farm, his inheritance, and put a price on his head. So Masood, for years, wherever he went, he traveled with the security detail. Earlier, a few months ago, earlier in the summer, 1st of June, Masood's mother and father, some circumstances arose. Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan made it impossible for them to stay in Afghanistan. They left and they came to Greece, just like Masood and his family had. Masood found out about this, and despite what had happened, Masood traveled to Lesbos, the Greek island, and he found out when they were going to arrive, and he greeted his mother and father as they came off that boat. And he said, I'm honoring you as my mother and father. And he said, I want to introduce you to the people who have helped and served and taken care of me and my family, your grandchildren. All right, they're taken into Athens. A few weeks later, his mother calls him and said, hey, that Monday night meal, can we come to that Monday night? Every Monday night, they serve a meal, the ministry there. Free meal, average crowd, 400 to 600 Muslims, just food, and they present the gospel of Jesus Christ. His mother heard the gospel of Jesus Christ for the first time in her life. 3 weeks later, she calls Masood and says, "I want to come visit your church." And about 2 months ago, middle of August, they're sitting in a church service like this. Masood's mother leans over and whispers in his ear, "I believe." And he turns to his mother and he says, "Okay, are you willing now to be baptized into Christ as the scriptures teach?" She says, "Yes." So Masood decides to go see his father and ask for his father's blessing. In respect and honor, he goes to his father and asks for the blessing. His father has been watching all of this. And his father said, "If that's her decision, then yes. And by the way, your brothers and I have taken the price off your head." There's a picture of Masood and the little boy that's left Afghanistan at 6 months old, having lunch with his mother and father. Masood baptized his mother into Jesus Christ. His father is now visiting church at the Glyphada Church of Christ. And Masood continues his Bible study. Now Masood is being asked to go speak because this same thing is happening not just in Athens, but in Vienna, in Sweden, in Germany, in London. Masood has been asked to go speak to brand new congregations of Farsi-speaking ex-Muslim, now Christians, in Europe. Is that amazing? And you guys are a part of that. The power of the Word of God. And let me just go ahead and say this. This part of the message is free. Okay? I'm going to charge you for the rest of this, but this, just kidding. Okay. These Muslims coming to Christ, it's not happening because somebody out-argued them or out-debated them. Show them the superiority of Christianity over Islam. No. This is happening because some followers of Jesus got it and came under people and just loved and served unconditionally. And it shook the ground those people were standing on. And God is doing the impossible. Maybe there's a lesson for us in there somewhere. Maybe, you think? I don't know. Maybe not. One last story. This is Irfan. Irfan came as a refugee from Afghanistan as well. He arrived in Greece in December of last year. In November of last year. He started attending the Monday night meal. He was baptized into Christ the first week in December last year. Baptized first week in December. Right after Christmas, he went back to the refugee camp after attending church services where he was confronted by a group of thugs with knives. They had heard of his conversion. They threatened him and said, "You deny Jesus Christ right now or you're going to suffer the consequences." He stood tall and he said, "I will not deny my Savior and my Lord." They attacked him, stabbed him, left him for dead. Thank God somebody heard the commotion, got him to a hospital. He was in ICU for 2 weeks. In the hospital for another 2 weeks, his second month as a Christian. And first Sunday out of the hospital, where is he? Back in church. I don't know about you. That's a little bit in my face, huh? People ask me a lot, "Well, how's that old refugee thing going?" You know what I mean? little skepticism. That's how it's going. Could it be, maybe, that the seed of the Word of God that you helped plant has been planted in really good soil of hungry, good-hearted people and has started to bud and sprout and grow in power and strength and beauty? You think? And we get to witness this, not just from the front row, but we get to get in on it by providing the seed. Well, those are just some examples of what our great God is doing. That verse that says our God is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, I want to report to you, God not just able to do it, God is doing immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. And my only response to this is, how great is our God? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for revealing yourself, for showing us this morning once again who you are, what you're able to do, your heart, your compassion, your power, your love for all people, for showing us your creative genius in finding ways to reach people that a lot of us thought were unreachable. Thank you for open doors, and I pray, Father, for continued open doors, and that you would give us the faith and the courage and the energy and the resources to charge through those doors as long as they are open. And Father, this morning I pray for this sweet church family, for the Leander Church of Christ, and my prayer this morning is that your kingdom would come and your will would be done here in this place among these people, just like it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus, amen. In just a moment, we're going to...